Hi, I'm Mario Guerra, the two-time former mayor of the great city of Downey. And you're watching, you're listening, Talking Downey. Thanks, folks, for watching today. We have a special show for you. I am not going to be your host. I am turning over the controls and the reins to somebody that's going to do an amazing job today in her very first show as host. So I am going to turn it over, and I'm not even going to introduce her. I'm going to let her introduce herself.
Hello, everyone. My name is Victoria Torre Gomez. I'm born and raised here in the city of Downey. I'm currently going to be starting my junior year at Vanguard University. I'm majoring in communications, emphasizing in public relations, and minoring in journalism, digital media, and theology. So I'm super excited to be here. And am I the first person to ever switch spots with you?
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Creating history already. Look at us go. So today, as Mr. Guerra had mentioned,
Mario. Thank you. That's very nice.
So today I'm going to be asking you a variety of questions. It's going to be lighthearted, but if we want to get a little bit deeper, we totally can.
Absolutely.
So can we start off by talking about how long this podcast has been going on? What created the spark of you wanting to create something like this?
Sure. It's probably been about 3 years.
Okay.
And it was the basis that we wanted to have something in Downey. Nobody talks about the issues in Downey. Mm-hmm. You know, we got the Downey Patriot, but there's really been no podcast, no discussion, no way to get the people, the news. Not necessarily hard-hitting news, but recap. And we, you know, being a former mayor, I can talk about what the council's doing and so forth. And we've been mostly very nice, but when they mess up, we call them on it. So I think it's another avenue for the residents of Downey to figure out, you know, what else is going on. But we started at Eric Pierce, the editor of the Patriot, and I. He took a sabbatical last year and kind of retired. He comes on as a guest host here and there. But so far, it's been really good. We had a sponsor right away, Financial Partners Credit Union. They're amazing. They're, you know, 85-year-old business that started here in the city of Downey. And they've been our sponsor ever since. So they wanted to make sure we communicate and get those things out. But then, mostly, Talking Downey is mostly local. It is all local. Right. But we branched out, and we have another show called Talking California, which basically talks about politics. That one is kind of a little bit more hard-hitting, talking about the issues, the bills, the laws, and things going on there. But it all started from Talking Downey, and now we're going into our third year. Gosh, in the last, I forget how many months, we've had over 300,000 views. It's growing in all our different social media platforms.
Absolutely. That was something I was going to mention. I've not only seen it spark on, like, you know, the listening platforms, but also your social media, and also relating it to the Downey Patriot, seeing how all of that connects and, you know, spreading the local and current events throughout not only the city, but like you said, spreading and expanding that to just the state as a whole. So,
yeah. 24,000 followers on one of the platforms, and it's been kind of fun.
It's neat how social media can work in those positive ways.
Yeah, although when you mess up or when you do a show that people don't like, it's like they attack you. But
I know.
It's all good.
So you have been involved with the city of Downey for about how many years now?
Well, I started on the city council in 2006. I served for 8 years. The full maximum I was termed out. I was two-time mayor. Before that, though, I was a commissioner. I was in West Downey Little League for 29 years. I was coach and president of the league and so forth. And then after my term came up, I was appointed as the civilian aide. We were talking to the Secretary of the Army, and my term on that is coming up. It's been 9 years. But besides that, I stayed involved. I'm blessed. I'm the chairman of the Planning Commission here in the city of Downey. I chair the Oversight Committee for Measure S and Measure D. And so I've been and continue to be involved. One of my favorite things is the Columbia Memorial Space. I'm the treasurer for the foundation, and we're building a new building to put our new the inspiration, the original inspiration for the space shuttle. So I still involved here. My grandkids are growing up here, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just a good family place.
I was about to say you've been involved for as long as I can remember. Like you said, I was born and raised. My father is a police officer for the city of Downey. So you're a face that I've seen around just forever.
Yeah. I started as a chaplain there in 2002. That's when I was ordained initially. So I've been that, and I've known your father mm-hmm. the whole time. And of course, your mom, you come from a great family.
Thank you.
And you were a little tiny girl.
I know, it's so crazy. Full circle moments for, like, honestly. But I mean, I wouldn't have it any other way. Yeah. The city of Downey has grown, and you can just see how things have shifted and just the diversity as a whole and where the city of Downey is like is leading. So it's in a good direction. So I'm super excited for the plans that everybody has in store for this. So was there a defining moment when you knew what kind of person you wanted to become and what kind of things you wanted to get involved in, type of careers? I know you're very into politics and, you know, our country. So when did that click in your head?
Well, I came as a refugee. I was on the third freedom flight, Lo Viaje de Libertad. So I was a little boy and was dirt poor. Our whole family was. I just showed my kids, we just drove by our little one-bedroom apartment for 12 people in Huntington Park just this last weekend. So we were there. I had a great childhood. We were dirt poor. I didn't know that. My dad was a surgeon in Cuba, and when he came here, didn't know English. Mm-hmm. So he had to learn English, and he also had to take all his medical exams. So he did what all immigrants do, right? He went out and got a job. And he got a job at California Hospital in downtown LA as a janitor. So years later, on there, he was a surgeon at the same hospital mm-hmm. that he was a janitor at. So, you know, America, what a great mm-hmm. country. So that was my inspiration and my motto of service, of seeing who they are. I was blessed with great parents. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter whether you had money or not. And then we had a tragedy in my family. My brother and my uncle and my two cousins were killed in a plane crash, taken off from Long Beach, trying to land it on the 405 freeway, and they all perished. And I was supposed to be on that plane that day. And I was going to be his co-pilot. I was taking pilot's license, and I was getting there. I was 8 hours away. But so then I was just searching. I was lost, and, you know, why? And then I had remorse for survivor's mm-hmm. remorse, if you will. So I kind of kept searching, and then I found God through my wife and knew I had a higher purpose, and I needed to convince people that, you know, this is the service is the way to go. Mm-hmm. So years later, when I started to be a deacon, and I was at seminary, St. John's Seminary. We drove out there for 5 years. Wow, that was a long thing. Anyways, and the word deacon, it comes from the word diaconia, which mm-hmm. literally means servant. So that was just the course of my life. I just gave you two-minute shot there. Public service was just an afterthought. That gave me another avenue. Mm-hmm. People said, oh, you shouldn't mix religion and politics. Right. Well, you should. It's, you mm-hmm. know, being a politician is service. Mm-hmm. People have turned it into a bad word. It's not a bad word. I was proud. I can gladly tell people I'm a politician. Mm-hmm. Being a politician is trying to make change, positive change mm-hmm. on issues and things that you want. So that doesn't have to be good. It doesn't have to be bad. Some politicians turn it into bad, mm-hmm. and there's greediness and underhandedness. But that kind of, for me, that was just an easy direction. And now I try to help politicians mm-hmm. and help politicians, people that want to get into politics, and I want to help young mm-hmm. people like you. So anyways, that's been the course of my life. If I defined it, I want to define my life as service. And I'm so proud of everything that we've done together.
Absolutely. That was going to be my next question, but you kind of touched on that a little bit.
I do that a lot. I'm sorry.
It's okay. No, within the separation between religion or like church and state, per se. I mean, we've seen the history and the climate on how that has gotten us into some pickles, but it also just brings a new perspective. And kind of what you're saying, it all depends on the person and the message that they're trying to spread. Why hide something if that is a part of you, your goal, and your mission? Yeah. So I really enjoyed that. Thank you.
When I first got elected to the city council in 2006, that same night, one of my first phone calls was our police chief at the time, Roy mm-hmm. Campos. Mm-hmm. And had just got elected, but I had already been the police chaplain for 4 years by that time. And I said, Chief, how do we want to handle this? Do you want me not to take the seat on there? Because I think the work that I do as police chaplain is very important. Right. And he says, you know what? Why don't we just figure it out? We'll do it one step at a time. We'll figure it out. Because, you know, the police department is a paramilitary organization. Right. All police departments are. There's a chain of command. Then when you're on the city council, you know, you direct the police department, if you will, through your city manager. So we never had an issue. I always knew when I get into a police car with an officer and ride-alongs and so forth, I always make it clear, boss, you're in control, okay? I'm the police chaplain. I will do whatever you want me to do. And whatever we talk about will not go to higher-ups unless I see you commit a felony out here, you know? But so that way officers are comfortable enough to talk to me about certain things. So that's something that I made. We never had an issue and got through it. Yeah. Because being the chaplain, you're there working for them and on behalf of the community. When you're an elected official, you got to make some tough decisions. And sometimes you vote as a block, but it was hard. And some police officers once in a while got mad at me on something because I didn't vote, you know, I didn't give them the $15 million raise or something. But I'm being facetious. then nobody ever got mad at me. We always had a great relationship.
Great. Is there a current issue you feel strongly about but most people ignore?
Oh, yeah. Well, something that just happened on the redistricting here in the city, which is a big issue that nobody knows about. We did an episode on it. We have always, the city of Downey have always had four districts geographically, okay, for elected officials, right? And then you have a fifth one, which is citywide one. That's how our forefathers wanted it when we became incorporated in 1956. So our council just changed it. We had some goofy lawyer that wrote a letter in, and it's one of those lawyers that writes in letters, you know, like an ADA lawyer trying to extort money from cities, okay? And they said, hey, you're in violation of the Voters' Rights Act because you don't have the districts, all five districts. And it's baloney. The Voter Rights Act was set up so all five council members can't live on the same block in District 4. Okay, and only represent that block and then not anybody else in the city, right? So that was made the law, and that's okay. You should have district. But we've had four districts. You got Horacio Ortiz in District 1, which is Southeast Downey. You got Hector Sosa in District 2, which is Southwest Downey. You got Claudia Fermenta in District 4, which is Northeast, and then Dorothy Pemberton, Northeast Downey. And then you have Mario Trujillo represents the whole city. So every single person, you and me, we get two representatives. How about that? I live in District 2, so I get Hector Sosa. But guess what? I also get Mario Trujillo. I get two people representing me, okay? And the council, in their diswisdom, this was not wise, changed it and now made another, carved another district in the middle. And the reasons were silly. Oh, it takes a lot of money to run a District 5 race. Who cares? That's just politics, right? And, oh, you know, that way it's too many people to represent. Who cares? Either you represent them or not, you know. Anyways, nobody in our city mostly knows who their representatives are, okay? And yet we made another district in the middle, so we now have five. I lost a representative. How's that good? You know, so this has happened the last couple of months. Most people don't know about it because it's going to have an impact on the elections coming up. And then when it does, you're going to like, hey, when did we do this? It was done. I try to yell as loud as I could. I try to influence it out there. So that's one big issue that could have ramifications because people on there in certain areas can't run for office. So let's say you live in District 2, okay, and you are happy with Hector Sosa. He's a great guy, and he's got another 5 years to go. But you want to run for office. You had a choice. You can now run for District 5, the citywide one. So we can have two people from District 2. So why not encourage that, right, the good people? But now you got to wait 5 years until Hector Sosa is out of office, unless you want to challenge him, but you're saying he's a good guy, good for the city. That's what I'm saying. It takes away choices from our residents in running for office. And I think it's wrong. I think it was short-sighted. I let them all know that. They weren't happy with me. Mm-hmm. They weren't happy with my show. But, okay, so that's one thing. Okay. There's about three or four other ones, but that's the main one that I think people just don't realize mm-hmm. what's going on. So.
And I agree. I believe when it comes to knowing who your representatives are and who's based, like which district you are part of, that is something that completely goes over people's heads. Yeah. I remember in high school when I was learning and typing in my address and figuring out all of our representatives and who was leaders of the districts, I was like,
yeah.
This is insane that we aren't educated on that kind of
right.
more so before. But when it comes to the political climate and allowing people to want to run for those opportunities, I do see how that can be completely blindsided.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, everything is local, you know,
it
really comes out. We locally impact the quality of life for our residents. You know, the things like fixing our street
mm-hmm.
and you know, making sure that the garbage is picked up, mm-hmm. graffiti.
Right.
You know, that was one of my big pushes. Right. You know, I still know it, 923-4484. That's our graffiti hotline number. Okay.
Wow.
I always told residents, and I attended, I helped start the Neighborhood Watch program. I attended like the first 140 mm-hmm. of them. And I would tell residents, with our fine officers always went with me. I said, listen, okay, if there's graffiti in our city, it's yours and my fault.
Right.
Because on there, we need to call it in.
Mm-hmm.
So tomorrow morning when we're driving to work and we stop at a corner of our block and the stop sign has graffiti on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we're like, oh, are you kidding me? But we go to work. No, pull over, call 923-4484, or better yet, use the Downey app. It's really good, quick. Take a picture, you send it in, it sends the coordinate. By the time you get home, that'll be taken off. Because it's the broken window mm-hmm. theory, you know, take care of it. And I also say to the bad guys, you want to graffiti that? Great. We'll clean it up tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do it the next day? Great. We'll clean it up the next day. We'll do it 20 days in a row. So they get the message, you can't. This is our city.
Mm-hmm.
You can't control our city. We, the residents, get to do that. So that's one of my pet peeves. I'm sorry. Anyway, but it is local.
Absolutely.
It
and
is
I
local.
Feel that if you are proud of your city and want to see the beautification of it and just see it be kept up with, because
yeah.
cities can go downhill
yeah.
within
yeah.
weeks, months.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, I mean, it's up to us to continue giving back. You
right,
know, in that sense. And if it's a place that you want to live and you want to stay in a place you call home,
we're so engaged here. We can be in Downey. I mean, having a local media helps.
Mm-hmm.
Having a show like this can help because we need to stay vigilant.
Right.
You know, we need to elect good people.
Mm-hmm.
I think the council right now, whether we disagree with them politically or not, they're five good people
mm-hmm.
and they're not bad people.
Mm-hmm.
We had a terrible one a couple years ago and it caused a lot of turmoil mm-hmm. in our community on there. But you know what the city did, which is very hard to do? Did a recall and like 80% recalled the person. So, again, that's staying vigilant, that's staying great, good to our city. We have our own police department, our own fire department. We got an amazing, amazing school district, okay? We have top leaders here that do good. We have good community groups. We have 14 service organizations like Kiwanis and Rotary and Seroptimus. We have, I believe the last count was like 52 churches. So that means people that want to give are involved
right.
on there. So that's what makes community,
mm-hmm.
you know? I mean, and then young people like you that were raised here and hopefully you're going to spread that love and continue on that that service.
And we come back. We always come back. And it's good to be able to have a city that, you know, welcomes you with
sure.
open arms. And
sure.
especially since we're, like you were mentioning, we're also tight-knit. Because of those groups and organizations,
yeah.
you know somebody from somewhere
yep.
and a
yep.
part of a group that you were also a part of years ago. And just familiar faces all around. And
absolutely.
Even in the Patriot, I walked in and I was like, I know these girls. I know
yeah.
these girls. The Downey pageant. Like,
yeah.
it's all just full circle moment. And the
yeah.
community is just, it's very, it's really, truly unlike any other.
Yeah.
And especially
yeah.
me, since I've been able to, I moved to the city of Whittier
uh-huh.
not too long ago.
Uh-huh.
But you kind of see
yeah.
the shift within just the sizes, but then also
yeah.
the leaders, and then
yeah.
also just what is given to you as like a citizen.
Right, right,
to be a
right,
part of.
Right, right, absolutely, absolutely.
So I noticed that your office is quite decorated, whether that be with, you know, memorabilia, newspaper articles, pins, UCLA hats. But is there a sport or activity that you are passionate about?
Oh, well, I do. I love football. You know, I always used to make a joke that my life revolves around the three F's, faith, family, and friends. And everything you do happens within that, right? But then, you know, from September to January is the fourth F, and that's football. I love football. I used to do the player interviews for UCLA Radio. You know, been a season ticket holder there since we moved in 82 to the Rose Bowl. I used to travel with the team and, you know, in all these places to Nebraska and Alabama and stuff. So I've had a great experience. So, yeah, football has kind of been my love from it. But I've been a Dodger season ticket holder for many years. You see over there, there's pictures. One of them was last year's World Series. We have a thing, my daughter Haley and I, we go to the World Series games. Ever since when we get in there, I always take her to our tickets. Our tickets are row C right behind home plate. They're awesome. So we went to the World Series. It's like the perfect day. But we were there for the Freddie home run, right? And a month later, she's going through some photos and some things on social media. She goes, oh my God, that photo of Freddie holding the bat up right after he hits it, we're in the background. You could see her and I in the background, right? And stuff. We're just excited.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, how fun was that? Right above it is Shohei Ohtani. I think Eric Pierce is the one that found that photo. And it's Shohei Ohtani hitting his first home run in the playoffs a couple games earlier, right, when they were just in the playoffs. Well, I'd taken my grandson, Benny, to that. And sure enough, there's Benny and I in that. Well, so I put him up there, put little stars on it and stuff. So, you know, you come in here a lot. There's a lot of Army memorabilia here in the office and different things that mean something to you. You see those paintings up there.
Right.
Okay, so Rancho, the Art of Rancho, which is Rancho young artists on there that are quadriplegics or are, you know, disabled in some way. So my last day in office, they took a photo of me, which I didn't even know they were doing. And you could tell on the lapel, that's my city pin. That was like and most of those were painted through their teeth. When they have, you know, the brush in their teeth because they're quadriplegics or some different, you know, disabilities. And I got to know most of those kids. So I have seven more, and they're colorful, they're fun. But to me, I walk in, I look at that, and it just, you know, it goes to my heart. That's the goodness of God. That's the goodness of humanity. And they brought it to the last council meeting. It was displayed there at City Hall. And they've only done that twice. One for Don Canabi, Supervisor Canabi, that literally saved Rancho as a supervisor. And then I was very involved there at Rancho. I still am, but not to that extent. So, yeah, you surround yourself with fun things,
right,
you know, that make you happy. And, of course, I have a lot of Army things because of my service there. But anyways, it's, yeah, it's got to be, you know, work to me. I'll never give up this office because it's just fun to come to downtown.
It is. My first impression when I walked in, I was like, it's the glass also helps. It also brings in, like, that natural light, and it highlights just everything, all the good things.
Thank
Do you have a favorite piece?
Thank you. Well, that's really my piece. Is this here, right behind us, is the my civilian aid to the secretary. It was done by a disabled veteran, but it was given to me by my son-in-law the week before his wedding. And he surprised me. He had it commissioned to be done, and he brought it in here, Tyler Hessler. And he brought it in here as a gift for, you know, that was a trade, I guess. My daughter for that. I think he got the better deal of that, right? But I'll take that. So, and I have he's the father of my two grandkids there too. So that's probably my favorite that I get to see, and that's why we put it there. So.
So I noticed that you are an author. What, as a person that has yet to read your book, what can you go ahead and summarize?
Sure. So it started off, and Eric Pierce helped me write it, okay, because he's a journalist. So he helped me write it, and we talked for almost a year about it and different things. At first it started like, you know, I have this background of coming here as a refugee. I wanted to memorialize it to my grandkids. And it's like, you know, they need to know some of these stories about my mom and dad and what they sacrificed for them and so forth. So it started off as that. And then it evolved. I'm like, you know, I've been successful in business, built a pretty large company. So let me give some tips about how I did it and things that I have done throughout my life. And then let me talk a little bit about politics, because mm-hmm. politics is working with others and getting things done. So I think it became a little bit of here's how I did things. And hopefully somebody can learn from that. Mm-hmm. But bottom line, it's still slated for my grandkids, and hopefully my great grandkids mm-hmm. someday can see, hey, that was Grandpa.
Right.
You know, they call me Papa, so I'm Papa Guerra. You know, so
that's important. So, the whole point of something that I personally enjoy doing is storytelling, and just seeing the different generations and just privileges that.
Yeah.
And even troubles, I mean, that your families have faced to get you to where you're at now, being able to look back at all of that is something that's very important in the end, and allows you to keep pushing further and keep raising that bar for you and the generations to come. So
I always have to remember, too, you know, it's funny, on social media recently, I've been called an elitist, and it's like, what? You know, and because... You know, my family earned everything. I earned everything I have. I came from a refugee with nothing.
Right.
And it's just hard work and knowing people and helping others. That pay it forward thing is really mm-hmm. important to me to do that. So I look at these things and I look at my life and I'm pretty lucky. And yes, I was able to come here. And that's why people that don't agree so much on immigration, I don't want to get into that, mm-hmm. but I've been saying this for 10 years. I was the treasurer for the Republican Party statewide mm-hmm. and everything else. So look, I came here legally, but knowing everything I know about this great country, I would do anything I can to bring my family here, right? This is a great place, mm-hmm. this melting pot. So we have to start with empathy. Yes, we got to follow the laws, but empathy is good on there for the human spirit. And that's why I always preach about. And I still preach. I spent 10 years here at St. Raymond's as the deacon. I spent 10 years in St. Linus in Norwalk. And then the last three, I've been at St. Philip the Apostle in Pasadena. And it's interesting is because St. Philip the Apostle is a very well-to-do parish. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, the church is full every Sunday, all the masses that mm-hmm. I do. When we had the fires up there, man, everybody pitched in. We raised $130,000 in 2 hours in gift cards to give those families. The parking lot of church is full every night with some kind of ministry on there. So just because you have some success financially doesn't mean that it doesn't take away from you. It makes life easier a little bit, but it doesn't take away from your service mm-hmm. To others. Mm-hmm. And that's what the last weekend's gospel of Luke was exactly that. It was about the Good Samaritan. It's funny as I was thinking about it, because it was a Samaritan that came by and helped the person that had just got beat up. And I thought, what if it was a Galatian? You know, the term would be, oh, the good Galatians, you know, and so like, oh, you're a good Galatian, you know what I mean? Instead of now we call the Good Samaritan, right? That becomes synonymous.
Right.
It's like Xerox for copy machine and stuff like that. Anyways, sorry, I digress.
And that kind of transitions to the last question I have for you. So being able to see the shift and just being very involved in the transition of generations, what issue do you think younger generations care more about than the older ones?
That's interesting. I think that there is a passion more for the environment, in a good way. I think I think they feel more emboldened. And not necessarily in a bad way. I think that's interesting. I think the old generation on there, we wouldn't think of doing some of the things that are being done today just out of respect, if you will, but doesn't necessarily make it wrong.
Right.
So today's generation, I think the social media aspect of it, you see, you know, if in our day, if you saw a police officer with a gun out, you'd run or you'd hide, you'd raise your hand. Now everybody pulls their phone out, mm-hmm. you know? So, and I won't get into that, but with your dad being a police officer, that, you know, police officers, they have to be psychologists, lawyers, they gotta be even tempered and so forth. There's just mm-hmm. so many requirements of them. That's just not right, you know, what we expect of them. But I think our younger generation expects that. So sometimes it's not good, okay? But I think some expect more from the government versus, in my day, it was like, you know, you pull your pants up and let's go,
right.
You know. But so anyways, it's different. But our younger generation, I think, has bigger hearts, a lot more empathy towards people. So there's good and bad.
Right.
So and I see that in my own kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you know, the other day when my son comes in and just how he was, you know, he had a test. He's in his last year. He'll be Dr. Guerra in November. So he's on the home stretch. But we say, time out. You just walk right by your mom. Go give your mom a kiss. She just made you dinner. Oh, sorry, Dad. You're right. You know, that kind of stuff on there. But in our days, my dad wouldn't have given me the warning. Mm-hmm. He would just pull me by the ear and taking me over.
I've noticed that within me and my siblings as well. The youngest is now 10, and I just see the differences and the shifts, and I'm like, if it were me doing that,
I wouldn't have got away with it.
I would not. But
I think we parents get tired. Okay, we're like,
I mean, after four kids, probably my parents are probably like,
Yeah.
we know the rule, but
so let me ask you a question. So what made you want to get into journalism?
Public speaking. Uh-huh. So I attended Our Lady of Perpetual Help Church,
right.
And we participated in these speech contests. So we would show up, we would pick a poem and say it. So as the years ended up passing, I just found myself really enjoying that process of finding something I really liked and just presenting it in front of an audience. So as I grew up, I mean, I wanted to be anything and everything. I was like, I'll be a chef. And then I was like, I'll be a police officer. You know what? I'll be a fireman because I could cook for my team and just like continue serving. I wanted to be just a big variety of things. But then as I kind of got older and attended high school, I was kind of like, the clock is ticking. It's time for you to kind of figure out which direction you feel comfortable in pursuing. So then I was kind of like, okay, I did my research and I was like, what kind of career options are there for people that just enjoy speaking? I was like, well, what is there to do? So I then found that communication has just a variety of branches, and PR, I just love representing people. I just love, as I had mentioned, storytelling and connecting with people. I'm such a people person. I love learning more about you. I love learning about myself in that process. And so then I was like, let me emphasize in PR. And I actually took a journalism class in high school, and I found out I really enjoyed, like I had said, interviewing people and talking about the cheer team and talking about just the different things of students, you know, making history in that sense in this generation. So I was like, okay, let me go ahead and pursue that. And with social media just coming to a rise, I found a love for that as well. I served as my school's chief officer of communications this past year on our student government board. So that was a different perspective, absolutely, compared to, you know, high school ASB.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed that seriousness. I enjoyed being in those meetings, those weekly meetings, hearing students come to our forums, talking about concerns, and us having the job to make that change.
Yeah.
So that was something that I really enjoyed, and just being able to kind of speak to our student audience in ways that capture their attention, and just learning the little ropes behind how social media works and how people only have the attention span for 30 seconds and how to get their attention within that matter of time. It's something that I've definitely enjoyed exploring and enjoyed just pursuing.
Awesome. Well, you got an amazing personality.
Thank you.
And I think that's going to help you on
it.
You know, and again, learning to speak will help you in any career endeavor.
Right.
Because, I mean, you know, for me, you know, I'm a deacon, so I preach,
right?
So it just helps me in different ways. And now, you know, I almost feel like cheating, but I do some AI stuff on Sunday just to get ideas.
Right.
I don't copy AI
or
whatever. It's very, but you know, the thought of some of the availabilities that you and I have today versus 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
20 years ago, I had 5 books on, you know, on each reading and what I'm going to preach on and what, and now it's like, it's on the computer.
It's in the palm of your hand.
You know,
of a button.
It's amazing on there. So this is, you know, I'm a generation removed from the greatest generation, right? The baby boomers and so forth. But I tell you, we're living our best life right now, okay? And that's the one thing, and I'm glad you realize it. I want our young folks to realize that too. The fact that we can say, where's the best taco restaurant near us?
Right.
that's, you know, in the old days, okay, where's the yellow pages? Mm-hmm. You don't even know what a yellow page is. No, I know. So I love some of those memes that come across on social media. Who knows what this is? And it's like a stapler remover that we
it's
don't
like,
use
if you
anymore.
Know, you know. If you know, people are like, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. So, well, listen, keep going what you're doing.
Thank you.
You're welcome to come back and host it anytime. If you want to bring in somebody from school, you want to bring in a professor or somebody you think is interesting, you should invite your dad.
Thank you.
That would make a great show on there
that
for him
fun.
To come
that
in
sounds
on there.
Fun. So, a little bit of convincing, but so, I think we can do that.
Yeah, tell him I said hello, but tell him, yeah, I insisted on it. That's his chaplain.
No,
he'd be great because he does so much. And I follow your mom all the time. So, well, listen, thank you. Nope, you've got to sign us off now on there. This is your show, ma'am.
Oh, wow.
So,
well, thank you again, Mario Guerra, for having me come on to Talking Downy. Thank you to all of our viewers. Don't forget to follow their Instagram and just continue listening and keeping up with the city of Downey. It was a pleasure being here today and a pleasure interviewing you and getting to know a little bit more about yourself. So we'll see you next time.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.